Well, this is our Sunday night service, and we can see that you are who we have tonight. Yeah, you are who we have tonight. I can look at it about 5-7 years ago, and we would be pretty looking really good into our 50s, and there have been many times when our Sunday night services would be higher than our Sunday morning services, because that's who we were then. But things are changing. Things are changing, and we can say that we love God, but whatever we spend our time with is what I know we have jobs that sometimes we don't like, and we have to do those things, but we spend time with things that are important to us, and we need to, you're working in your relationship with God to grow, and because if you're not, you're going to continue to struggle, just as we talked about this morning, between the winter, the spring, and the summer, and the fall seasons. And it was even brought up to me that no one had stood in the spring season section, and no one stood into the fall or into the summer section. Everybody was standing in the fall and the winter sections, which means, are we in that bad? I said this morning that we're all going to have winter seasons, and we're all going to go through all these seasons, and there's a time for these seasons, but it feels as though sometimes it feels like the whole church. When I say the church, it feels like the churches that serve the Lord, it seems like many of them are in a winter season or in a fall season. But I'm always reminded by Scripture that God says, that Christ says he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we know that Christ will build his church. That is a scriptural piece, and so we need to remember that. But I want to share with you some things tonight, because I want you to look at me real quick. Almost half of you that I've talked to, either it says it on your face, or you've told me that you're not getting much out of the services, you're not getting much out of the singing, you're not getting much when you read your script, when you read the Bible, you're not getting it. And I want to tell you something. It is your responsibility to get out of that spot. It is your responsibility to get out of that spot. And we're going to talk tonight a little bit, and we're going to pray a little bit tonight. But we're going to look and see, because I think that many of us, we have a belief in Jesus, but we believe that Jesus, we just feel like we have no power in our prayer, we have no power in our step, we feel like we have no power in our talk. We're just living. We're just living and just doing. And I don't know about you, but even in my own life, I need to step up a few things in my place. It doesn't mean always about doing more. It means about relying on the Lord. So I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about when God intervenes, when God intervenes in your life and in your prayer life, and you pray to God, when God intervenes, you'll know it. You're going to know it. Today's Christians, I believe, and is that many of the Christians today, we have a belief in Jesus Christ, but we don't believe in living for Jesus. We believe in owning a Bible, but we don't believe in reading it. We believe in doing the things that we think, the things of showing up for worship, but we don't worship. We sit here in a pew like a bump on a log, waiting to see what the pastor's going to be able to lift me up or going to be able to shake me up to get me excited. That's your responsibility. Not mine. Now, there's some things that I want to help you be able to pull the string and get the light on. Ding. Get that light kicked back on, because some of us are living in a 2-watt light bulb, and that's all we got. I mean, you got a little bit, but you don't have enough to shake things around you. There's a dark world around us, and we are not penetrating it like we should. I do not like spiritual warfare, but we haven't had any for a while. And when we don't have any spiritual warfare for a while, I begin to think, wait a minute, now what's going on? Maybe we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we're so down in the dumps in such a deep winter state that we're not effective, because all we're affected by really is what's going on in our life, and we're not being effective for the gospel. I want to tell you, once you become a Christian for Christ, your life is not your own anymore, but it belongs to God. So when you give it to God, as we should, then God's going to use it. But I want to tell you tonight that there are some people in this world that can shake your world up. It's not who they are, it's who they serve. Now, we all can say that we serve God, and that's good. Then we can all say that we have Jesus Christ in our life, and that is good. But it's what you believe. It's what you exercise in your life. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you tonight. I want to share with you a prophet in 2 Kings chapter 13. It is a prophet who God told to go up and speak to one of the kings. And this king had some serious issues. As a matter of fact, I believe it's in 13. All right. Before you go there, I'm going to go to James chapter 5. You see, there's a difference between the man that two men can be walking and have salvation, but there's a difference between, there can be a difference between that, between two men that are saved or two women that are saved. It is in the power of the prayer that you pray. Faith is the key for powerful prayer. Bible says something here that is unique, and I want to share with you. In James chapter 5, it says this in verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Which means the man who is righteous, living the way he should be before God, and who believes that God can do all things, when that man prays, things can happen. And when God intervenes in a situation, I want to tell you, things can happen. Things can happen and things can change in a moment. The king was standing there and waiting for this prophet to arise. And as the prophet comes, he begins to tell him that these things are going to happen to you. And the king stood up and he began to shake his fist at the prophet because he didn't like what he was saying. And he sits there and he shakes it, and as he shakes his hand becomes withered and it's all crinkled up. And all of a sudden now his attitude changes and says, ask the prophet, I believe in God, I believe in your Lord, I believe in your God, will you pray to your God, will you pray to God that my hand would get better, would be healed? And the Bible says that this prophet turned and he began to pray for this man. And his hand straightened back out. No one tell you about that story. That king didn't straighten his life out. That king didn't straighten his life out, but he asked a righteous man to pray for him. And God didn't hear the words of the king. God heard the words of a righteous man. And it wasn't the king who prayed, but it was the righteous man who prayed. The righteous man wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for somebody that he was angry with. Someone that he gave a bad news, a prophetic piece that was going to happen to him. But he still prayed for him because he reached out and he asked for him to pray for him, to pray to your God that my hand would get better. And we see that hand straightens out. Now that prophet made some mistakes later, and he ended up dying. But my piece for you is this. As the word says, the righteous man, God answers his power in a man who is righteous in front of God. It doesn't make him perfect, but he's living the life that God calls him to live. He is living right before God. And here we see today that there should be a lot of us being able to pray, and we should be able to pray for things, but we're not praying because we're just mumbling words, we're throwing words, and we're expecting God to do something half-heartedly. We don't think that he can do these things because we still believe in a world system. I want to tell you that the spiritual world is more real than the world that you and I are seeing each other right now. The spiritual world was here before this world was here, and the spiritual world will be here after this fleshly world is here and gone. I will invest my time in the things that God's called me to invest but it is for the eternal life that I have, called living out my salvation. I have to admit that even in my own prayer life that I've got to step back because God has begun continue to press upon me. As you see, I struggle even through this scripture, this message here, because I know what God is speaking to me about as I'm even talking to you. You can only do what's happening to me right now when you're listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm not lifting myself up, but when you're walking with the Spirit, you'll hear the things of the Spirit, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Because the Lord can speak to you and give you a different insight than what you do in the flesh. He can speak to you while you're speaking to other people. It is a unique thing that only God can do. But we need to be praying with power. We need to be praying with a faith. The keys of answered prayer is believing in Jesus Christ, that He can do anything and everything. I'm sitting here at 12 years old, and I began, and I may have shared this story, but I think it fits with this piece here today. I had a crazy faith at the age of 12. I believe God could put a person on the moon just by taking him off this earth and putting him on another planet. I just believe God can do crazy things like that. I began to try out for the basketball team at the age of 12, and I got cut. I made it through all the way up to the last day of getting, and I got cut. And I sit there and I saw, did not see my name on the roster. And I went to my first class and I said, Lord, I know you're the Lord. I've been saved for about a year. Actually, I was 13. I've been saved for a year because I got saved at 12. But I said, Lord, I believe you can do crazy things. I'm asking you, I still want to play basketball. Can you put me on the basketball team? I want to be put on the basketball team. The last class of the day, someone came in with a note. When you remember in high school, a note runner, whatever you want to call them, came in. There was a note, and the teacher said, told me to meet at the office after school. There stood the basketball coach and said, someone cannot play basketball. I don't know why, but something came up, and they're not allowed to play basketball through some school things or whatever. I'm asking you, would you like to play on my team? You know what I said? I said, yes. But you know what I did when I walked home? I prayed as a 13-year-old boy. I walked all the way home praising God. As a 13-year-old boy, thanking him. Now, did I make up? Now, I played basketball, but I will tell you this. I did not ask him to let me be a superstar or anything. I played, and I beat myself down for that whole, he beat me down for a whole season. But I will tell you this. I never scored a point playing basketball in that season. I only played just a few minutes. But that's not what I prayed for. I prayed that I wanted to play basketball. He never promised me that I would be a superstar. That's at the age of 13. At the age of 16, I began to try out for a baseball team in high school. On the last day, I got cut. On that last day, I'm like, wow, how can this be? But I thought I was going to be able to do this, this, and that. I went to my class. I said, Lord, you've done it for me once when I was 13. I'll tell you, when you know that God answers your prayers, you do not forget what God has called and what God has put and what God has done in your life. And I reminded myself, and I reminded God, I'm reminded, can you do that again? Will you do that again? I still had crazy faith at 16. And the next thing I know, God doesn't do it always the same way. It wasn't a note runner this time. It was a voice out of an intercom telling me to leave at that moment to go to the coach's class. I went there and he said, something came up with one of our players. He cannot play. Would you like to play for us? I left there praising the Lord in my heart, thanking him for answering my prayer. I want to tell you, there is power in the prayer of any person who's living and trying to live it right before God. When you believe that He can do all things, you got to say that He can do all things, and you got to believe it. Now, did my life always be like that, that I felt like I was walking on the clouds all the time in my prayer? Of course not. There's been times when I prayed selfish prayers. There's been times when I prayed for things and did not understand why God did not answer. But I've come to know as I begin to mature that God does answer, and sometimes He says no. And sometimes He says, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do all of that, but I'll do some of that. But you'll know when you know. You'll know when you become in touch with the Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you that a man who is righteous, that lives a righteous life, a woman who is living a righteous, your prayers are powerful. That king asked the prophet to pray for him because he knew his prayers weren't going to be answered. But he knew that there was a chance that the prophet, his prayers might be answered. I'm also reminded that the power of prayer, as we see through the scriptures, as David goes down to fight Goliath. He says, yea, though in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. He knows he's going through there. We see that God intervenes, and a 17-year-old boy destroys a victorious season champion. That's a God thing. We see Joshua standing in the battlefield, and he's got his warriors, and he's outnumbered and all of these things, and we see that he needs the daylight to fight, not the nighttime, and he asks God to stop the sun. That's a crazy faith, and God actually stopped the sun. It's almost like he reversed, and almost time went backwards. Time did not go backwards, but it was, everything was rotating backwards. God did that for a man and never has done that again, but for a man who believed that God could do something that crazy, he prayed that prayer. We see that a woman's husband died, and she goes and she tells the priest, my husband was like you, but he has died, and the debtors are coming, and they're going to take my children. And he says, what do you have? Go get some jars. And they go into a room, and get as many jars as they possibly can. And in that room, they kept filling up one jar after another, after another, after another. And God is in a room. Sometimes you can't have anybody in, do any, you can't have anybody else in your situation except you, your issue, and God. They brought out enough that they could sell to pay the debtors off, and she was able to keep her sons from going into slavery. We see a prophet standing on a mountain, on the hill, with all these false prophets of Baal, and there's a big battle going on. And God and the prophet calls down fire from heaven. You don't do that unless you look like a nut. But when you truly believe that God can bring fire from the sky and cause wood that is all soaked up to catch fire, that's only a God thing. We see scriptures and we see stories all over the Bible that God is showing you that prayers are answered. And he is all over scripture that he is answering prayer after prayer after prayer. He intervenes in people's lives and lives get changed. And I'm asking you, what is it in your life that you don't believe that God can do that someone else can do? What do you believe? What is going on in your life where you don't think God has the power to help you in your situation? What is it in this church that we want to see that we may not feel that God can answer because we don't have a faith? But we should have a faith that God will answer our prayers. You see, I have a couple of thoughts about the $50,000. I heard some of us in the church sit there and say, that's not going to happen. Those kind of words are defeating what others are believing. But we have those who believe that God can do those things. Now, I believe God could have put that $50,000. But I truly believe this. We didn't get that $50,000 because of those in the church that kept saying that we couldn't get, that God couldn't do it. God can do way more than what we can even imagine. God is an amazing God. God wants you to lean on Him and not on yourself. God gives us the keys that if you, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful. It availeth much. The world should be Satan is very query and very weary of someone who comes and walks into a room that knows how to key in on the Holy Spirit, knows how to pray with the power of the Holy Spirit, that knows and has a crazy faith belief that God can do all things. Not just say it, but when they walk into the room, I believe there are times when the demonic and the powers of the dark side, that they cringe because, not because of that man or that woman who walks in the room, but what they believe when they walk into that room. What that he or she believes and how they bring in prayer in everything. It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he's not just like he's extra special. He's doing what God, he was called to be a prophet. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Earnestly means he kept on praying. He prayed with a heart. He prayed with some passion. That it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. For 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. After the Mount Carmel peace, we see all the Baal, the 400 some Baals, and they all, prophets, they all get put to death. We see some crazy things happen there. Where the prophet Elijah tells his little runner to run out there and see if he sees a cloud, and there's not a cloud, and he comes back, and there's one the size of a fist, and next thing you know, it's letting loose. It's getting ready to let loose. Prophet sees Ahab and says, you better get on down there. King Ahab, get on down there. And Ahab was a wicked man. He was married to Jezebel. And the Bible says that Ahab and them was in the chariot going down the hill, racing down the hill. The Bible says that the Spirit comes upon Elijah, and Elijah outran the chariot. You know how fast you got to run to outrun a horse, a chariot? And we just read over those scriptures like it never happened. You see, we look too much in the flesh, and we look and believe in too much of what we see with our fleshly eyes, and not enough with our spiritual eyes. We struggle in our walk because we struggle in our prayer life. We struggle in our walk with the Lord because we struggle in knowing the truth and the power of God. We believe these stories of the Bible, but we believe that they are history. We believe that those are the things of long ago. But I want to tell you, we read some scriptures today, this morning, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now my question is, I want to know why everybody's sitting over here in the fall season and everybody else is over here in the winter season. Now I'm not upset because people went there. But I cannot understand why we had nobody in the summer season praising God, or someone in the spring season saying, I'm praising God too. Can I tell you what I went through and what I'm coming out of? So let me remind you, why would we want to have a whole lot more people coming in and just lifting and continue to be in a winter season? Your winter season, as we talked this morning, can last for a short time, but also can last a long time. But sometimes getting out of the winter season is what you do while you're in the winter season or in the fall season. We can't wait just to see the sun breaking through. Sometimes we got to fight and we got to wrestle, as Jacob did with the angel of the Lord. You're not letting me go. They wrestled. You're not letting me go until you bless me. You're not letting me go until you bless me. You're not letting me go until you bless me. You know when a man does something like that? What it's saying is, I believe in God. And I'm down and out and everything I got, but there's one thing I'm not going to give up, is I'm not going to give up on God, and here he is, and I'm going to hold on to him as tight as I can, and I'm not going to leave until he blesses me. In a winter season, you can step out of a winter season. You can get encouraged in a winter season. You can get some strength in a winter season. I'm going to tell you two ways you can do it. And both of them are prayer. Number one, you need to pray for yourself. Get a witness on that? We need to pray for ourselves. But you know right now that if you was to pray, is your prayers weak? You know that. You would know that if your prayers are weak, you would know that. I believe that. So the scriptures gives us some other things that we need to do too. And one of those is we need to ask someone who's living their life right before God, is what we can see. Someone that has power in their prayer. Someone that believes in a crazy faith that God can do things. I believe that a man, if God called a man, I believe a man can walk right out here in the Huntington Reservoir and walk across that water. Because I believe God can do anything. Two things. One, you need to pray for yourself. And if you feel like it's not getting anywhere, I will tell you this. Why keep struggling on your own when you can get in touch with a spiritual person, a person who is not in the winter season, but in the spring or summer season? You need to tag along a little bit, get on their coattails, and say, will you pray for me? I'm going through this. Will you pray for me? As that king said, he was not in any season but a winter season. Will you pray for me that my hand would become straight? And I'm going to tell you, it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's power in the prayer of a man who is walking in the ways of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Your prayers are not being answered many times because you do not believe that God truly is going to answer your prayer. Our prayers are not answered because we're not praying with a fire in it. And we're not praying effectively. We're not praying with passion in it. And I also believe our prayers are not answered many times that God, because we wrestle with it, because all we're doing is praying for ourselves. We be praying for others, as Jesus did in John chapter 17. He prayed for himself, he prayed for the disciples, he prayed for the rest of the world, those who would become believers. I believe this tonight, I believe it with all my heart, I believe. But when we're praying, we are talking to God. And when we're talking to God, we need to give reverence to God. Our churches have become so slack that it's always come as you are, and I get part of that. But we come as we are, and we will fix ourselves up, honestly, make ourselves look good if we're going out on a date. We will get ourselves to look good if we are going to go out and we're going to apply for a job. But when it comes into the house of the Lord, we just don't give a hoot sometimes. The reason I say that is because I should do my best to be my best in everything that I do when I present myself to the Lord. Amen? We got to wake up in our walk with the Lord. This church needs to step it up in how we stand before God and what we believe. We cannot think that our ministries is everything that we are. We must be a godly people. We must be a people that believe that God can do anything, because people will ask you, why do you believe that Jesus is the only one? Why do you believe that this is a good church? You ought to be able to give an answer. There's a godly answer. And for the reason that you believe in Jesus Christ. As I said, when I was 13, I made a prayer that I prayed that the Lord put me on a team. And God answered that. I also prayed at the age of 16 that God would put me on a team, and I didn't make it. And he caused me to pray harder and more effectively, and to see, and God allowed me not to make the team, but showed his power by allowing me not to make it, but then turned around and showed me the impossible with God. As it says in Luke, nothing is impossible with God. Was that the last prayers that God has done in my life for me? Of course not. There's been many that God has answered for me. There's been some that God has said, if you want it, you go for it. And sometimes it didn't work out as well as I thought it did, because I just kept hounding God on some things. And I see that if you was able to read my journal, there's a lot of pleading to God about things in my life. But not just my own life, but about some of your things that going on in your lives. And things of people that are not here today. Because I believe this. What you'll see in my journals is this. There is more things about prayer than anything else. Because I can't change things. Not like things need to be changed, but I know who can. And there's many times financially in this church that we are struggling. We find ourselves in a place that we really struggle. But God has always taken care of his bills. If this is God's church, you know what? These are his bills. Did you know that? And if this is God's church and these are His bills, then also that makes us His people. The ministries is His business. I'm replaceable, and so are you. But He is not. God has been replacing men generation after generation, but He Himself has never been replaced. So I have a moment in this time frame called life that I must live it the way God wants me to live it, and to be faithful and to believe and have a crazy faith in Him that He can do all things. I want to tell you how you can see and how you can become this part of seeing something happen in your life. First of all, we know that there is something called God's will. And we need to pray that God's will over the things in our life. But if it's important to you that you're praying, there's something that you want to pray about, and it's very important, I'm going to give you some places in the Bible that you need to read. Number one is I think you need to read the first 8 to 10 chapters in the book of Psalms. You'll find a man who is struggling in his walk. Not his walk in the Lord, but his walk in the world. And he's always has enemies around him. David always has fighting around him all the time. Another one is Job. That man has character beyond character. He loses all of his money. He loses all of his family members. He loses everything. He loses his name in the city. He loses everything. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He loses his health. He loses everything. He's hanging on life by a thread because Satan has stolen everything. But there's some great conversations in Job around chapter 37 where you'll hear that God says, "Who is this who speaks to me without words of wisdom?" And he's not talking to Job's friends. He's talking to Job. And Job says, "I have spoken, and I should have shut my mouth." As a man who begins to understand that life is bigger than us. A life is bigger than us. Queen Esther comes to a moment where her people are beginning to be wiped out. And she asks all the Jews to do this one thing, to pray and to fast for 3 days. Do not eat or drink because I'm getting ready to go into a place that my life could be taken. Because no one goes to the king at this time unless they are called upon. I'm going to walk through there, and the only way I can make it is if he puts out his peace, and I touch it, and I'm okay. But I'm going to take a chance, but I want you to pray because I want to try to save our people. Why did she even say pray and fast? Because she knows that the power is in prayer and fasting. And then these miracles begin to happen when Moses stands in front of the water. What are we going to do? And God's angry because he said, you ought to know what to do. Lift it up. Believe in me. And then the waters part, and they begin to go across dry land. And the stories go on and on and on. It all begins with all these powerful moments and these cool things that we see in the Bible. They all began with somebody took a moment in time and began to talk to God, praying about that situation. And I'm seeing people confused all over, not just in this church, but all over, and they're confused, and we're all wrapped up, and we're stressing out, and we're all getting anxiety and all these things, and we're not even taking it to God. We're showing up for church, we're doing our things, but we're not spending time with God. We're not praying and talking to God. Who can take it all away? The Bible says to cast all your anxiety before Him because He cares for you. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, not heavy." Jesus is telling us, keep bringing it to me. We keep hoarding it and holding on to it. Does it feel good to hold on to anxiety and stress? No. You don't get a testimony out of holding on to your junk. A testimony is when you lay it down and you say, "Lord, this is too big for me. I'm laying it before you. Work it out." And when He works it out, I'm telling you, you will have a testimony. You will have a testimony. There's not enough testimonies in the church today. In fact, most churches shut everybody down because all it is a preaching moment and some singing and everybody's done. But we're supposed to testify in the house of God about what God has done for us in the week that we had between the last worship service and this worship service. We're supposed to come to moments of prayer time when those who are hurting, we're supposed to lift up those things. We're supposed to do that. He says here, he says in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? He says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing some psalms. Is any of you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let him pray over him. We have people in the church that you can call on, and you can say, listen, why elders? Because they're supposed to be people that are godly. They're supposed to be righteous people. So when they pray, we know that God answers their prayers. Doesn't make them better people, but when you're life and you're living it the way God wants you to, there's power in prayer. Because there's power in God. If your walk with Jesus is stagnant, you feel like you're walking in the shadows all the time, fight! Don't give up. You got to keep fighting. Wrestle that thing down. Put it in the chokehold until you win. It ain't easy. It's hard being a Christian today. It's hard. And it's supposed to be hard now. Because the devil is the one. He's the prince of the air. He's going around. The Bible says he still kills and destroys. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's trying to take everything that you've got to make you ineffective for your own life, let alone other people's lives. It's hard, but it's okay. Amen? It's okay. Because he who's in me is greater than the one, right? He's in me is greater than the one in the world. But you just can't say it. You got to believe it. Not just with words, but with action. But with action. Prayer separates the seas. Prayer still heals people. Did you know that? Prayer still heals people. Prayer still casts out demons. Prayers become, God's work becomes miracles. And I believe God wants to sprinkle a lot of miracles in our lives, but we don't believe in it anymore. We've so-called grown up hard in as a believer. We think that's childlike faith, that's for kids. Listen, Jesus said, let the young ones come to me. You got to be like them. You got faith like them to jump off the old bunk bed and believe that dad's always going to catch you, because he will. I'm going to say it again. I don't mean to just be disrespectful, but we ain't that smart. If we were that smart, we would understand that there's power in prayer. We understand that God can handle any problem that I've got. The government is going to continue to do what they do, try to build programs to fix people's problems. But they'll never fix everybody's problems. 501(c)s are going to run around. They're going to do these nonprofit things and do this over here for these hurting people and do this for these hurting people. We're doing things for hurting people. The difference is with our hurting people and their hurting people, we're going to share something they're not going to share. They're going to say always this, lean on the government, get what you can. We're going to say, listen, let me tell you a story about a man named Jesus. We're shying away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and moving into other things that we should not be moving into. Amen? The core group is shrinking here. You go back to the beginning of David's battles and David's call, David's peace in life. God said that you're going to be a king, but it sure didn't look like that in the beginning. Year after year being chased by Saul. The Bible said he had found a cave, and all those who were disgruntled, all those who were in debt, all those who had pain and suffering, they all went over to David. And David had a lot of warriors. But there were 30 special warriors called David's fighting men. And amongst them, there were the three mighty warriors, and then there was the chief of the mighty warriors. It's about 30. Yeah, there was 30-some special guys. There were some battles that they fought. And many of them, they left the battlefield because it got very, very tough. The Bible says that one of David's men, his name was Eleazar, sat there in a field when it was wintry snowing, and he began to fight off a crowd on the battlefield when all the everybody else kind of retreated. He stayed in the field. And God gave him a victory, and when he was done, the sword was frozen to his hand. I wish that we could get this frozen to our hands and to our heart. And God gave him a great victory that day. In the scriptures, it says only in that scripture, in that battle, it was a man named Eleazar. No one else is mentioned in that. The victory goes to the Lord, but the battler right there in it was Eleazar. This church needs mighty men of God, mighty women of God to be able to look not at the numbers that are around us, but look what's in front of us and fight the fight that needs to be fought. I'm not giving up here. I'm not stopping what God has called us to do here. It's not going to be easy to continue to open up other programs. It's going to be harder. The more we get, the harder it is. And the less people that we have, every time we open one up, the less people that we have. But in that, if God chooses to do it that way, He gets more honor from it. Did you know that when Jesus was looking at the disciples, and the Bible said He had a lot of disciples, they all started following Him. He goes up on the hill and says, and He prays, and God points out to the 12 that were going to be His special disciples. Because the closer He got to the cross, the less disciples that He had. When He revealed to them that He was the Son of God, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can believe it? And that day, in John chapter 6, it says, and many began to fall away from Jesus Christ. And when Jesus got arrested, even the 12 disciples had all ran in some direction or another. Sometimes the closer you get to what God's called you to do, there will be less people. But it doesn't change the course. Because God always has something around the corner that He doesn't always share with us. I want you to think, as we're getting ready to close, and the opportunities that we've had in the last year, what prayers have you know that God has answered in your life in this last year? And if you can't think of any, then I want to know why you can't think of any. Because that tells me that it's not about the church, that there's something wrong going on. There's something at a disarray that's not working right in your life right now. Because we all should be able to say, can I tell you what Jesus did for me in 2017? Could I take a moment and share with you what God did in our church in 2017? So we're going to have a moment. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I will tell you this, you need one. Because you can't make it in this world without Him. Let's stand, give you an opportunity.